Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about semantic versioning. This is like DOS 0.2.11 or LabVIEW 6.3.2. What does it mean, and how do we use it? Now, of course, lots of people talk about it started off in programming, but now it's been appropriated, but loosely appropriated to different things. So you've got democracy 2.0, web 2.0, web 3.0, life 1.0, which is our normal life, life 2.0, which is where we've got the DNA generated and then by a computer. So it at no point does it have, you know, the ancestry goes down to a hard drive somewhere. Then after that, life 2.0, there's life 3.0, and that refers to artificial intelligence occurring there somewhere in life. So it's a term which has been appropriated, and one of the problems when you have a term that's appropriated, people appropriate the bit that they understand and they lose context of other things. So I just wanted to go into it a bit more depth, and the two generic things. Now I'm going to have to stop. I'm stopping off at this friend's place, so I'll stop off here and get back to you on this quick update. And this is on what is it, the topic here, the topic is semantic, which means the words, and versioning, and the word version actually gives you the idea. Okay, I'll be back with you in a tick. Back talking about semantic programming, semantic versioning. And look, I have to admit, I went in, chatted with a friend, brain completely swiped. However, semantic versioning is this sort of code which you can, it's sort of a numerical code you can put in to give people an idea that there's some basic changes to a system that you have to look at. And you have to, in order to clarify it, you have to communicate. This is one of the sort of beautiful things. So rather than DOS or Windows or LabVIEW or iOS or Internet Explorer version or Firefox, have all got versions. School science would have a version number, but it also needs in brackets a district number. So you need school science in brackets New South Wales, in brackets Tasmania, in brackets California, in brackets Wyoming, in brackets Washington, in brackets Toronto, Toronto or Ontario, the region. So it immediately tells you, in order to get this semantic versioning to work for you, you've got this immediate requirement to add to it and clarify it, and the clarification gives the information away about it. Now, the actual version number has a certain thing. There's a major version, a minor version improvement. So a major is a 1.2.3, that 0.2.3, that second decimal point, or the second interspace thing. It's not a decimal, but a dot. I suppose it should really be a mid dot, but it's a dot. Is a minor version, minor increase. Sorry, I did sneeze. Can I say, I'm so happy to sneeze now that I've had my heart operation. Not at all panicky. It's just a great thing to go. Okay. So, what's the difference between a major version and a minor version? Well, you will expect a certain compatibility with a major version. So, So it's compatibility is the difference between the major and minor versions. And so there is a fundamental aspect in the major version for which all software following is compatible. And as the improvements come significantly together, you have these minor version upgrades. I don't know whether I've described it all that much, but you might expect to have to buy new software to deal with, say, DOS 0.8 or, DOS 7 or 6. And 6 was the last, I think it was, but I suppose if you had, say, DOS 8, you might have to buy new software, or you may have to buy new manuals or new course. It's a significant thing that people want to do. Now, this point thing is a internal control, which has gone into external marketing. Those versions here. Now, if you go to education, my thing is that Bohr is... Science 1 point something or other, and given that each time you have a syllabus increase, so school science in brackets New South Wales 1 for Bohr 10, because I think since 1917 I think there's up to roughly 10 syllabus increases, and then after that third decimal point is a patch. And now what happens here is that you've got a series of bugs, a bug list, and a bug alert. And if you've got a bug alert, there's the description and a workaround. Now, when the workaround then gets migrated into the software, that is a software patch. So it error traps that particular aspect of, oh, I'm in the sun again. It's so glorious here. It's in the sun and pretty glorious to come around here. Yeah, so you've got a patch. So it's I know that there was Windows 3.1.1, 3.1.3, 3.1.7 as they introduced patches. And so eventually patches come out so often that they're updated in the field. And essentially, the patch number doesn't tell you, it's more a historic date. So, patches, say, 3.1.7 contains all the patches of 3.1.6 plus some more. So, it's a cumulative thing by the time it gets there. So, there are two other aspects to it, and one is the version control. And whether it's proprietary software of a particular company or a open source software, you've got all these questions which come up from discussion of versions. This version semantic opens up your analysis so that you can ask these questions. What version is it? Is it proprietary, or is it... is it best described as a proprietary, or is it best described as open source? And basically, the decision to go open source in education is being made for you, because there is walls and barriers up for actually discussing the proprietary aspects of it all. Okay, I'll be back talking about this soon again. Amazing. Semantic versioning. Again, look, I'm back from another quick break. It must be so irritating to hear it. When you've got the ultimate control, you can switch the pause button, the off button, the volume button. You can get out your earphones and just chuck it. Or if you're in a car and you're listening to it and you don't want to listen to it, you can just open the car door in the middle of traffic and run out to escape it. To escape me talking. Semantic numbering is actually, or versioning, is such a powerful way in which society has, technology has crept back into our culture. So you can say things. Now, myself, really, post-stroke and post-heart operation is Peter 2, I'm Peter 1.0, and this is Peter 2.0. You could say I'm really petered 2.0 once I got married, and then 3.0 once I had the stroke, had to break and re-evolve out of the mud, again. Now, the important thing is that you've got the regional stuff, things that you don't say somehow, and whether it's open source or proprietary. Now, proprietary, you want to shape, you really want to shape the, you have ownership, and you want to shape it and have monopoly. And at the end of the day, the region for monopoly is such that you can impose your own form of monopoly tax on it. So the great thing about Windows is that you can get the Microsoft Windows 10 is that you've got the you're buying the effort they've had in terms of to build a monopoly of the knowledge around it. This is with patents and stuff. They've gone through a business model like it. But there's other cases, open source, where, say, Linux or Celestia, where people go and with the basic information have an open source thing. And in this case, versioning is incredibly important because versions come forward at a particular time and pace. I think it's LabVIEW 12.0 at the moment. I was the LabVIEW operator is at LabVIEW 6 point something or other. So I'm just crossing here. Sorry, just there's a little bit of traffic, mate. So there are these aspects. Now the big question, I'll finish this off. The big question is, are you, you know, can you work on proprietary software? Well, the bottom line is no, you can't. One of the things about proprietary software is it's owned by the company. You're unable to contribute to it. It at the end of the day, it's got the advantage of monopoly aspects of it, but then on the other aspects of it, it's got a limited range of which people can actually contribute to it. Because it's proprietary, you have to be a member of the company to work on it. So this comes up to trying to, this unusual thing of I've got in this paper saying, look, first thing I'm doing is the introduction. The first thing I'm going to do is talk about the semantic versioning and the versioning that I'm doing. School science 2.0, or what people are working on at the moment is school science 1.10.3, the various patches that they place on it. And if you've got your proprietary and you've got your method, you've got this entire thing that there's this logic part of the 1.0. School science New South Wales 1.10.3. What's wrong with that? Well, the problem is that it can only be upgraded by a particular method. Is one way. It's not open source. The second aspect is that it produces its patches are parasitic patches. That is, they are a patch which ultimately drags the strategic performance of the product down. So their particular patch is, say if you're driving and your fuel engine light comes on, if you go in and say, I can fix that, I can stop that light coming on, and you go in underneath the dash and cut the cables there. So your patch, your solution is to cut the lights. Now, you have actually solved the problem. You are no longer driving with the fuel engine light on, but you haven't actually solved the underlying problem. And now, this is what I'm saying. It's this school science in New South Wales 1.10.3. The problem is that it says I can teach a student an incorrect science, but that's okay because I give the full marks for reproducing the incorrect science in exam. So long as that works, that is the best product on the shelf. This is this School Science 2.0, which is this social robots and this ultra-intelligent moonshot thing, that will replace it eventually for a number of reasons, but it won't do it anytime soon. There's a lot of work to be done. It just has got to be out there and be known. It's got to go through these critical user adoption user areas in terms of that this School Science New South Wales 1.10.3 is what's recognised, is what actually does, you put into machines and it does produce degrees out of it. This School Science 2.0 is not yet capable of producing it, but the story is that ultimately it has to couple with a degree system which is more advanced than what's before. And obviously the advantage is that we've got a cryptocurrency, which is currency which is numerical value, which has no source of origin. It is validated, it's actually validated. There's also crypto credentials. Now, I don't quite see how that can work, but essentially you should be able to have something where it's all accountable. I can't see, how this all goes through, because ultimately cryptocurrency, you want to be able to transact value, whereas with credentialing, you want to enforce responsibility, and to enforce responsibility, you want to bind people to a society in certain ways. But I think there is a way. So School Science 2.0 can access a whole lot of positive aspects and service a market which really is not concerned. It can be co-opted into the system. It can bleed into the system, which is a legitimate system. There may be some other system. Well, at that, I'm going off to the gym, and we'll see how it goes. I'll be doing an hour's worth of gym work. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.